జయం విశుపాదపరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నెత్తిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి స్వయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధనానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి డోర్ ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shrupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale, Srimadhi Bhaktivedanda Swaminidhi Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine, Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాచేద్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామాభికర్ణఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముద భూయాద్భారత పంకజక్కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృవాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మావరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగవదై క్రమోపనిషదై గాయంతియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితరద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. శ్రేయో హి జ్ఞానమభ్యాసాల్ జ్ఞానాల్ ధ్యానం విశిష్యతే ధ్యానాల్ కర్మఫల త్యాగం త్యాగ శాంతిరనందరం. వాట్ వి సో యెస్టర్డే ఆల్సో దట్ శ్రీనారద మహర్షి ఆల్సో మెన్షన్ యావత్ భ్రియేత జడరం ఇన్ ది భాగవతం సెవెంత్ క్యాంటో దట్ వి ఆల్ హ్యావ్ ది రైట్ టు హ్యావ్ ఫుడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ and if one is hungry he has got the right to ask for the food, similarly a place to sleep, and this is all our necessities in life. And beyond than that, accumulating any wealth more than what is necessary, and if it is not used for dharmam, any dharmic purposes, and in that case, the mind won't get too absorbed in the wealth. The rishis are saying that if you keep the life to the very minimum, then the mind need not worry about accumulation of wealth and maintaining the wealth. It's things like that. In this way, one whose mind is trained up, it is not necessary to worry where all their wealth will go and end up at the end, right? And it will be utilized in the world properly. Whomever it is meant to go and to be utilized, it will get to their hands properly. So, by their karma, by the karma of those people, whoever is going to be benefited by that, they will be benefited. So, this karma phalatyagam, Krishna is talking about, dhyanal karma phalatyagam. If karma phalatyagam happens properly, Krishna says, the end of that will be shanti anandaram. End of that will be tyagal shanti anandaram. So, anandaram means, it doesn't mean later on. What it means is that there is no gap between the tyagam and the realization of that. When karma phalatyagam happens, immediately what happens is, when karma phalatyagam happens in a person, what happens to him is akhandada. Akhandada means, that is what Krishna is talking about. Akhandada means that he becomes free from this limited identification with the body and start moving towards the infinite nature of the soul. So, actually, this same principle Krishna has spoken in a different way in the Bhagavatam also. You will see that in the Ekadasha Skandam. Yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamalpana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandaya kalpade. He says, what does that mean actually by saying that? What is Krishna saying there? Krishna saying, you give me everything, whatever you like in this world, and keep yourself with the minimum what is necessary for your maintaining the body. Yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamalpana. And whatever you, obviously most of the people are attached to their wealth. And if you give that to me, Krishna is saying, yachadi priyamalpana, tattan nivedayan mahyam, if it is offered to me, tada anandaya kalpade. It will show its nature, that what he is talking about here. The same thing what he said in the Bhagavatam, he is mentioning here. Dhyanal karma phalatyagam, tyagal shantir anandaram. So, to understand this, that we have limitations in us, right? That we become unlimited, limitless, right? That unlimited nature is revealed inside. And the person who is doing sadhana, he will experience that with his own eyes. He will realize that what is happening. Tyagal shanti anandaram. Shanti is the end result. Shanti is knowledge. Shanti is jnanam. And shanti is self-realization. Shanti is Brahman. It is the shanti, what we experience at that moment, is Shiva, is Vishnu, everything. Shanti is liberation. In Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the word shanti is used in terms of liberation. So, with that shanti, when shanti comes, it means that the moksham is in waiting. In other words, his tyagam, what he mentioned here, karma phala tyagam, has become perfect then. So, when this tyagam becomes perfect, what it does is that it removes that curtain inside which is covering our spiritual nature in the form of ahankaram, that give way and that curtain is gone, and shanti will be experienced inside in the form of happiness. So when that shanti manifests in the heart, so this shanti, what Krishna is talking about, it is not one sacrifice you have made in life in an eccentric form, but with full knowledge, knowing very well that the knowledge what you have acquired previously, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, through that jnanam what has come to you, and if it has become your swabhavam, if it has become your nature, such a tyagi, that means in his field of karma, he has developed this tyagam to such an extent. Four things he has spoken there: abhyasam, jnanam, dhyanam, karma phala tyagam, and finally fifth one, shanti. These are the five things covered in that verse. Abhyasam, jnanam, dhyanam, karma phala tyagam, and finally shanti. So abhyasam is our existing field of action, whatever we are doing, right? And wherever one is situated in life, in whichever situation he is engaged in this world, and that is where the secret of his liberation is. That's what this verse is saying, that the secret of one's liberation is whichever position Krishna has put one in this world, there lies the secret of his liberation. And he doesn't have to leave that and go somewhere else, because that is the place where he has to do the abhyasam, where he has been put into by Krishna's decisions, that due to his prarabdham, wherever position he has been engaged, that location, there lies the secret of his liberation as well, right? So he has to practice the abhyasam there, and any jiva can acquire liberation from that situation, right? So that means in that, wherever one is located or one is engaged, in that place, while he is doing that, he has to get to realize that the goal of human life is self-realization. Whichever condition he is, he does not think that I can execute spiritual life only after I retire or only after I become free from all entanglements. That is not how it works. Krishna's point is, whichever situation one is put in, no matter what it is, in that situation he should realize that the opportunity for self-realization is there, even in that situation where he is in, right? And similarly, it is not that you have to acquire something before you endeavor for liberation, and it is not to become something in life. So in this way, if his attention turns inwards, then Krishna is saying that there is a certain auspiciousness comes to him within himself, right? That auspiciousness and is one which is his prakriti, what is his nature or his characteristics. It has to start influencing his own swabhava. By acquiring this knowledge, that whichever situation one has been put in, staying in that situation, able to change himself to his swabhavam or characteristics, right? In order to do that, it has to become dhyanam. That is the important point. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. That means the self-realization process has to begin from whichever situation has been put in. In that situation alone, he has to have that knowledge and has to understand the principle, what Krishna has spoken there. And from there onwards, he should begin the process of self-realization. When it becomes a dhyanam, meditation inside, then the process has begun. So, when dhyanam happens, dhyanam means always absorption, thoughts in that, that is dhyanam, not the type of meditation we talk about. Here, dhyanam means all the time thoughts are absorbed in something. Thoughts, absorption of thoughts. So, so if that happens, then his swabhavam will change, will transform itself, right? And only that dhyanam will change his swabhavam. If swabhavam changes, his karmam will change, because swabhavam has an influence on the kamam as well as on the karmam. So that is why it is said like that. You see that verse, kayena vacha manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrite swabhavad, is saying. So swabhavam, once swabhavam starts changing, karmam will also start changing. They are all very subtle things, but if you keep thinking and thinking and thinking about it all the time, you will start understanding what Krishna is saying. It is difficult to explain that, because the way it happens is, Krishna is saying, abhyasam is required. What is abhyasam? Abhyasam is being situated in a particular situation where one is put into by his prarabdham, where Krishna has put himself in. In that situation he is thinking about, because that is where he has the opportunity to look for liberation. So to free himself from the cycle of birth and death. Once that thought has gone inside, then his karma will accordingly change. That change happens through that knowledge that things have to change, and that jnanam, like the way Krishna has spoken about it earlier. That's why the first 10 verses are important. It is a difficult verse, this particular verse, this 11th verse. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal. Abhyasam of what? That knowledge what is spoken in the first 10 verses. And that jnanam will grow up inside, and it becomes a meditation inside. A dhyanam. It becomes a dhyanam inside. So, that is why, and that changes the swabhava. That changes the swabhava. That is why it said that karodi yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanayadi samarpayami kayena vacha manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrite swabhavat, it says. Swabhavat. Right? So, all of us work in this world with the body, with the mind. All activity is done according to our prakriti, isn't it? Prakriti swabhavat. According to our prakriti, we work in this world. If the prakriti changes, our nature changes in us, then afterwards, we don't have to be told, do this and don't do this, do that. That kind of instruction is not necessary if our prakriti changes, right? So, so if we are able to change that prakriti through this dhyanam or anusandhanam and through the tapasya, when it gets changed in the field of our karma mandala, in the field of karma, either alone or in another situation, favorable situation, like in an ashram or something, wherever he is present, whichever place where he is located, even right in the middle of any vyavaharam, what he does in this world, there will be a happiness that comes from within. They say that there will be a lotus flower will open inside. What that means is that within oneself a certain realization comes, and he will feel the presence of an unusual state beyond this body and the mind, beyond the body and the mind, right? Then even it is possible that this is all to be experienced only. It cannot be explained more than this. This happens to people at different stages. People who have practiced it, they have confirmed this. Right? Just like you could see in Mahatma Gandhi's case, Even in the middle of politics, Bhagavad Gita kept him going. He had a lot of attachment to Bhagavad Gita, right? And situations where it is difficult to say that Gandhiji may have done made many decisions. How the results have come, that is not our topic of discussion. In politics and in the international dealings with the friends, enemies and all that, things will happen in different ways. Everything won't happen according to your plan. It will happen differently. That is not the topic of discussion. Topic of discussion is, Mahatma Gandhi's life, he has taken shelter of Bhagavad Gita, and in his life you can see that what Upanishads have spoken in the forests by the Grishis and places where they perform their penances, and rarely in the association of the great kings or great emperors where it was discussed. And that Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken that in the middle of battlefield. And there he spoke Bhagavad Gita and Arjuna in the, before the battlefield. And similar situation in Mahatma Gandhi's life also, if you look that, and he started using Bhagavad Gita in his own life, how to implement the science what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita into one's own life. Right in the middle of politics, he held this book and he read it every day. And he understood a lot of things from Bhagavad Gita, and he chanted the holy name of Lord Ramchandra. And whatever faults you may find in his dealings in the world, the mistake, it could be good or bad, either way what has happened. In this Maya, what is good and what is bad? Yeah? Kim badram kim abadramva. We are saying that if he had done in this way, it would have happened in this way. Like this, we talk about this Maya. Kim badram kim abadramva. Dvaidasyam avastana kriyal. Vajodidam tad anradam. Manaso dhyatamayavava. Leaving beside that aspect of it, how Mahatma Gandhi took advantage of the Bhagavad Gita, that right in the middle of these politics also, he took Bhagavad Gita and he escaped. That is the success. He escaped, right? And in that issue, that he chanted the holy name of Ramachandra and left this world. You don't need anything more than that. So that is the important principle, right? So, other things what happened after his politics and all the other involvement in the government and all, what all happened, those things are, people have different opinions about it. Some people say he did the right thing, some others said he did the wrong thing, and there is disagreement on that. But those things are not to be, not involved in the spiritual side of life. Spiritually, he has taken Bhagavad Gita, and the message of Bhagavad Gita has worked for him. So in other words, his battlefield was the politics and the fight for independence. So he used that field, his field of politics and the field of independence, as a place for experiencing his yoga sadhana or yoga process, right? So in the same way, Krishna has done the same thing. In the battlefield, he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And equally, the important thing is that in our life also, wherever, whichever way we are situated, if one can change, as Krishna said in that verse, that Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal, Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishade, and that samskaram is that Dhyanam brings that samskaram inside, what will happen? Karma Bhalatyagam. Attachment to karma phalam will leave us. And so, what is the obstacle inside us? The obstacle is this, right? That the we are locked up in certain situations in life. We are locked up in that. And because we are locked up like that, due to our attachment. Attachment is that locking up means. Locked up due to attachment. In a very subtle level, right? And therefore, meditation won't, it is not like a meditation possible when you are locked up in that way. So, Shanti, Krishna is saying here, Shanti comes when the dhyanam becomes stronger. Dhyanal karma balatyagam comes. So, first, abhyasam, jnanam, dhyanam, karma balatyagam, and then Shanti. That is the order in which it happens. But in between all these things, starting from abhyasam, then jnanam, then dhyanam, then karma balatyagam, then Shanti. So in between that, when between jnanam and dhyanam, it takes time. That jnanam should go into meditation, dhyanam. It is that dhyanam that cleans up or open up all the locks what we have. Locks means these attachments inside. Our different attachments to different things, in different ways, in a subtle level, that attachment won't go easily. They are all the locks somewhere put inside us, those locks. Unless those locks open, this karma phalatyagam also won't happen properly. Karma phalatyagam means that it has to become a samskaram inside. And that it becomes a samskaram only when that jnanam becomes a dhyanam. And that is what he is saying here. One after the other, all the doors that's locked inside will open up one after the other, right? For example, those who are working, their connection with their superior officers. Similarly, in the form of husband, wife, children, all these are locks inside. And that is where we are locked up. Actually, we have no connection with anybody. But unfortunately, when you are on the bodily level and due to the society's pressure, we stick to certain paths in this world to keep some peace inside. Whether it is right or wrong, that's another issue. The issue to understand here is that all these are where we are locked up due to the pressure from the society and due to our own personal attachments. So, once these doors open, it is not easy to open those doors, he's saying here. But when this dhyanam happens, gradually what happens is these doors are opened up. And therefore, actually Krishna is revealing a great secret what is happening within us. Right? So with this knowledge, Krishna is saying, if you have that abhyasam, it will lead into Shanti at the end. Because one after the other, these locks will break up and these connections will be broken in this world. So, and that state is called Naishkarmya Siddhi. It's another word used in Bhagavad Gita. You'll find several ways of saying this. Naishkarmya Siddhi. Siddhi, perfection coming from becoming free from karma. Earlier in the 18th chapter, Krishna mentioned that. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanyesenadi Gachadi. 18th chapter. Right. So, what happens then is, even if you look for karmam, you won't find karmam anymore. Because the break has happened with karmam. Right? So, first of all, you won't get the desire to engage in karmam. And you also won't feel like doing karmam to get something out of it. Right? And no karmam will come in front of you. And you don't feel like you don't need to do anything to become something. All these ideas in the head leaves you from inside. In other words, you become satisfied with your spiritual identity, spiritual situation, right? And that is what Krishna said that naishkarma siddhi, right? And Arjuna, and the same word, if you look at it in the Bhagavad Gita, in different ways it is spoken. Sometimes nirvanam, nirvanam archari, it says, nirvanam. Same meaning, mean the same thing. Or you can call it as Brahmistiri. It's the same thing. Sanyasam, same thing. And Paramahamsa Dharmam, it's the same thing. So different words are used to express the same state of consciousness. Right? So, what happens is that Paramahamsa Dharmam or Sannyasam or Brahmisri, that brings that Shanti inside. So, Shanti is nothing but this Paramahamsa Dharmam. Karmam has left him. And Karmam has left him. He didn't leave the Karmam. Karmam had left him once for all. Which means, Kartrutvam gone, Bhoktrutvam gone. And that stage of reaching that Naishkarmya Sthiti, saying this, Krishna finished the first part of Bhakti Yoga with this. He explained Bhakti Yoga and its close connection with Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is what becomes Bhakti. And that relationship Krishna has explained in these 12 verses, with these 12 verses, right? Now, from now on, what Krishna is going to say is, one who has done all these things, what will he be like? What will be his nature or symptoms of a devotee? That is the next part in this remaining 8 verses. These 12 verses, he spoke about Karma Yoga and Bhakti, relationship. What does Bhakti mean? He made us understand through Karma Yoga how you get there. And one who has practiced it and reached that state, what will be his state? How will he be? And that is the next 8 verses in this chapter. So, the beautiful heart of a devotee, that's the next 8 verses. So, look at that. Evam sarva karma phalatyagal karma yogasya shreya sadhanatvam abhidam. That when karma phalam leaves, when he is given up that way, then karma yogam comes to him, then all karmam atraja atmeshwara bhedam ashritya vishwarupe ishwara chetaha samadhana lakshano yoga ukta ishwarartham karmanushthanadicha. After that, anything what he does in this world is only for between the individual Atma and Ishvara. No other karmam for him. Right? So, adhaidada pashaktosi. If you are not capable of doing that, for that purpose, Krishna has spoken that, that means one who is not capable of following Jnanamargam. Akshara Upasana. Everyone is not able to do that. Vichara Margam, Tattva Jnanam. That is not possible for everyone. So, Te Pratna Mandima Meva. So, that is what he is going to talk about it. Then, about the devotee. So, Bhakti Yogam. Let's look at it this way. Bhakti Yogam, Krishna spoke about that. Basically, he has spoken about Karma Yogam. Bhakti Yogam, in the name of Bhakti Yogam, he called the chapter as Bhakti Yogam. Actually, what he has spoken is Karma Yogam, right? From this, you can understand one thing. If you go back into Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, Krishna said, Logesmin Dvida Nishtam Pura Prokta Bhayanaga Mayanaga Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. He began Bhagavad Gita like that, with that words, yeah? So, 2 things he mentioned there. He said in the beginning, Logesmin Dvida Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanaka Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. The 2 paths laid in front of us, right? So, and this has been existing from time immemorial, these 2 processes. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam is for those who have that power for Vijaram. Vichara Shakti, who can do Vicharam. So, in these 2 ways, one who is not capable of that, doing that, karma yogena yoginam, he said. So here, first one is jnana yogam and the other one is karma yogam. Karma yogam, Krishna has spoken here as bhakti yogam. So when karma is performed with samarpana buddhi, then it becomes bhakti. Then it becomes bhakti, right? So, karmam, when we do karmam, the results of the karmam can vary from person to person. Same karmam, if two people have done, they may get two different results, right? So, karmam and its results are not connected each other. And that is a difficult thing to accept, is it not? Because in the world, people do karmam knowing well what results they are expecting from that. But the point Krishna is making here is that karmam and the results are independent things. In the sense that karmam by its very nature is jadam. Jadam means it's just like a dead matter. Right? What is the benefit of doing karmam? Purpose is that the danger of karmam is that you will get entangled and you will become more and more get deeply absorbed in that, and you will fall further down in spiritual life. People do karmam in this world only for one reason, to get the results, right? And how long will the results be there? Just like you can see, to prepare a meal may take 2 or 3 hours, but to consume the food, 15-20 minutes, it's over, right? So, result is temporary, but the endeavor is longer. And once you have experienced that, for example, after a meal, the taste of the food, that will, any karmam in the same way, any karmam will plant a seed inside and it will go. In some form. It will plant a seed inside. Right? It will never makes you free. That is the problem with karmam. So, so instead of becoming free from the karmam, what it does is, it's planted a seed inside and has left us. So, and that is what is later on becoming our swabhava. How karmam becomes our swabhava. Karmam plants a seed inside. Every karmam in this world plants a seed inside and then goes. And in over a long period of time, the seeds that the karmam has planted inside becomes our swabhava. And the more you do karmam, the swabhavam becomes very heavy. Right? So, suppose you have done one karmam, any karmam, doesn't matter. You think, oh, I finished with that. No, it's not over with that. Right? It has created an impression inside and it has left you. And that created a samskaram within you. And till you develop spiritual knowledge and self-realization and what Krishna is talking about, up to that point, this knowledge comes in, till then, this samskaram what you have created will keep on strengthening inside. That's the way it works. All of us are not conscious of these things. We are thinking that, I've done a karma, I've finished with it. No, it's not over. It has left an impression inside and has gone. And if you have done that karma many, many times, many years, for a long period of time, it has gone in so strongly inside, and that samskaram is controlling you after that. You are not free from that anymore. So, that is what is called Swabhavam. That's what is called Swabhavam or Prakriti. Right? So, and that prakriti or samskaram is the cause of bondage for anyone, right? And then what happens? Karmam, doing karmam and getting the result. It has become inside in that way, right? So, when do you get free from that? That question comes, is it not? That's when he says here that when the karmam is offered to Krishna. Till then you don't become free from that. This karmam has gone in so strongly inside that it has become free, difficult to become free from that. We ourselves got bound in that, right? So that is what this whole principle of Karma Yoga and Bhagavata Dharmam talking about, right? So when karmam is performed for samarpana buddhi, Bhagavata Arpanam, immediately you can say bhakti comes in then. That means some bhakti has come inside. Some bhakti, right? Without bhakti, to do karma yogam is not possible. It's not possible, right? Some people will say, we are not interested in bhakti yogam, or we are doing only karma yogam. Or some others say, and without bhakti, karma yogam is not possible, right? So, karma yogam, when we say like that, Krishna is saying that with the karmam, you are worshipping me. With the karmam, you are worshipping me. And Krishna gave a definition like that for bhakti. With your karmam, you are worshipping me, right? So, you will see in the even the last chapter, Krishna saying that, so karmanam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. In the 18th chapter. So, with this karmam, you worship me, Andaryami, who is inside, and you become perfect in that way. Whatever it may be, it is very difficult to break up bhakti and karma. They are so closely connected. So, somebody says, I am following bhakti yoga, I have nothing to do with karma yoga, that means he has not understood anything about bhakti. And somebody says, I am only doing karma yoga, I am not interested in bhakti, means he has not understood karma yoga either. That is how closely they are connected to each other, karma and bhakti. And that is what he is talking about here. You see? So, Krishna is saying, with the karma you worship me, and whatever it may be, bhakti and karma yoga is difficult to separate them. Difficult to separate them. In other words, if there is no bhakti, then, or bhakti means taking shelter, Krishna shelter, ashrayam. If that is not there, then the question will come, why do I have to do karma as a yogam then? So, Krishna's suggestion is that, when you develop this relationship with me and then you do the karmam for me, then you have bhakti. Otherwise, he can't recognize anyone as a bhakta. When you recognize your relationship with me and you are doing the karmam for me, then you are my devotee. Otherwise, you are not. Simply saying that I am practicing bhakti yoga and doing a lot of rituals in the temple or at home is not considered to be, where on the other hand, keeping karmams completely separate from Krishna, that is not acceptable. So, then, that attachment to Krishna can be in a different way. For example, here he is saying here, Hanuman's case if you take, Hanuman's approach to Ramachandra was, he will just follow the rules, whatever has been told. If Ramachandra says anything, it will be implemented totally, right? So, if you do like that, like Hanuman, you will become free. If the way Hanuman Anjaneya has done. If the way Anjaneya has done, right? Why was Anjaneya so independent? Because he had no karmam of his own. All karmam he has linked with Ramachandra. That was Anjaneya's success, right? So, because there is so much power behind it, behind that karma, right? Without any selfishness, 24 hours for Ramchandra's service. So if you understand that principle, that how karmam and bhakti, they are so closely connected. Like Anjaneya Swami is one of the best examples for that. He didn't do any karmam for himself. Everything what Anjaneya Ramachandra told him, he did that. Without any further questioning that. So, and this is a big principle, this is what is in that verse. To properly understand, it takes time. You got to think a lot about it to properly get the spirit behind that. Yeah. So you can see this. And when the Anjaneya Swami started doing this way with Ramachandra, without any selfishness, totally surrendered. Just please, all karma, what Anjaneya Swami was not doing sadhana like the way we are talking about. His sadhana was his karma, pleasing Ramachandra under any circumstances. Right? When one does karma in that way, the whole world comes under his control. To such a powerful he was in that sense. Right? So you can see this in examples of many other great personalities. For example, you may not know this, what I'm going to say now. Before Vivekananda went to America, right, he thought about going there. In them days were different, not like today you can catch a flight and get in there within 10-12 hours. No, you have to make a lot of preparations. You have to get a booking in the ship. Ship takes about 3-4 months to get there. So traveling from India to America was a very difficult thing in them days, you can imagine. And a lot of people, some of his godbrothers and others, told him to go to this Parliament of Religions in Chicago. And they raised funds for him and told him to go, right? He was not ready himself, right? So whatever funds were collected, he distributed back, gave it back to them. He didn't keep anything, right? So, because he said that my desire comes and if I go like that, that won't be proper. Till Antaryami from inside gives me the strength to tell me to go. This is how he was clear with his Antaryami, right? So, so this Sharanagati or surrender to Antaryami is not just in one stroke it happens. I tell Antaryami, look, I have surrendered to you. It does not work like that, right? So, he said that, wait and see till I get direction from him, from inside, right? So, he was not willing to make any move till he felt that Antaryami wants him to go, right? And because lot of times, thoughts comes in the mind, our mind, right? Mind will tell so many things to us. And if I start taking, it's all coming from Antaryami, then it's a bit difficult. I could get into problems, right? And so, if we go like that, if you take it in that way, right? Suppose everything I think in my mind coming from Antaryami, and I start doing things in this world, if I get beaten up somewhere, then I will have to accept that's also Antaryami's decision. If I go and do something nonsense, right? So, even his own teacher, Paramahamsa, told him to go, but he was not ready yet, right? Then Sharada Devi, she wrote a letter to him, told him that you should go. She wrote him a letter. Right. It is after that he started seriously from inside, this desire started building up inside. Right. So, and once he has got that instruction from Sharada Devi, then he felt that it is time has come to go. So afterwards he didn't look back anymore. And you can see that they are very inward looking nature they had. So when the instruction is coming from Ahangaram or it is coming from Antaryami, able to see the difference. when it lot of things what we coming getting is coming from our ahankaram, but when it comes from Andaryami, able to locate that, right? So when when it is knowing that it is not coming from ahankaram, rather it's coming from Andaryami, right? He started realizing that there is some power that is from inside wants me to go. He felt it very strongly, right? So he wrote a verse to all his god brothers in the matam that there is nothing to be frightened about. I am going, he said, and he said that this is not karmam. He said, Andaryami's dictation it is, and just like Anjaneya brought this from the Himalayas, whole Mrita Sanjeevani, the whole hill, he brought back. Similarly. You have to think that certain activities happens in this world under the direction of Andaryami to come to that state of realization, right? What can happen? Maybe death may come in this journey. I'm going totally unprepared. But that doesn't matter, he said. What is death? Saying all these things, he wrote a verse to all his god brothers about that, right? So where did this courage come from suddenly, right? That is coming from that bhakti. So in other words, karmam, when it is performed with bhakti, it's a different situation altogether, because there is ashrayam in that, shelter is there. But every other karma what we do without Krishna shelter can go either way. Can go either way, right? So, that is what he is saying here, that karma is like an ocean. We all know that. It never ends. Once it has started, it never ends. You can be doing karma till you, the last minute, till you leave this world, right? So, that is the nature of karma. It will deliver a baby and then it will go. And you will become busy with the next baby. And that karma will leave you with another baby and this karma will go. This is how it goes on and on and on and on like that, right? So, we will think this is our own misunderstanding. It's nobody's fault. It's just the way human society is, right? If after this karma, I'll be free in my life. If you think like that, right? And people will say like that, when you invite them to come for Salsangam or something, they'll say, I've got little bit responsibility at home. Once my daughters are married and the son is settled in life, then after that I'll retire and I'll be only doing one thing, going for Salsangam, he will say. And that day never came. It never happened, right? Because then grandchildren will come and then they will keep you busy for quite a while, right? So, or some other problems will come in that way. And after that, you will see that, you start realizing that this is an ongoing thing, what life in this world. It's a continuous process going on, one after the other, right? So, after everything is over, when everything is peaceful, settled, now I am free now to come for Salsangam. So, that may not happen. That may not happen, right? Because that is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarva Bhavena Bharata, Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsasi Sashvatam. He says, Krishna's point is that if you think that you will settle all your karma and then take to surrender, that is not going to happen. Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam. But the moment you realize that Krishna is inside us, Andaryami, Kridesha Arjuna Tishtadi, and he is the one who is keeping you busy with this all this karma, cycle of karma. Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani, Yantra Rudhani Maya, a best example is that giant wheel. Sitting in the giant wheel of karma and goes on and on and on and on like this forever. Only option what you have is tameva sharanam gacha. When you get to realize that, surrender it there, then and there. Sarobhavena bhairada. And then what will happen? Ital prasadal param shandi. You will get shandi, he says. So, so the thing is, what Krishna's point here is that you do your dharmam, whatever it may be, and you will be free, but not that you don't do anything. In other words, karma yogam is bhakti. Karma yogam is bhakti, right? Bhakti yogam and karma yogam, they are not two different things. Bhakti yogam and karma yogam, they are not two different things, right? And saying that something is bhakti and you will keep away from karmam, a bhakta won't do that. He will do the karmam whatever is necessary. How long he has to do it? Krishna will release him from that karmam. That at some point, he will release you from the karmam, right? And that stage is called Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarma Siddhi, right? And Bhagavad Gita is talking about that. In other words, that Naishkarma Siddhi, that stage, is that situation, is the destination of everybody, right? Some fortunate souls, they will get that earlier in life. That anubhuti coming from that Naishkarma Siddhi, in other words, karmam had left them very early in life and they become free. They are not pulled back again into the cycle of karmam. For some others, they can get trapped in that for a very long period of time. So, when you become free from karmam, that samadhi sthiti, which he calls it as Brahmi sthiti or Jnani sthiti, in this way, Naishkarma sthiti, it is not a something that you can get through your fascination. You are fascinated. It has to come through knowledge and realization and when your vasanas have gone away from inside. So through vasanakshayam, when the vasanas runs out from inside, something will happen that attraction for karmam leaves us from inside. Till then we may say so many excuses. I have to do this, I have this responsibility, that responsibility and all that. Mainly what is controlling from inside is the vasana. Vasana is not gone. So vasana controls us all the time in every situation, right? So he is saying here that this vasana-kshayam happens, and when vasana is not causing any more problems, that is when Krishna says that you have become free from the karma. And he spoke about bhakti yogam in that way, right? That means karmam becomes a puja, aradhana, and that sutram, that technique, right? When a karmi understands that, then he becomes a bhakta. When a karmi understands this principle, what Krishna has spoken in this verse requires a lot of reflection. There is, because it is such a confusing verse, Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, dhyanal karma phala tyagam, tyagal shantir anandaram. If you want to understand that verse, that it takes a long time to get through that, right? So, Krishna is saying here that his vasana, Krishna is going to say at the end in the Bhagavad Gita that, he says, you won't be able to escape from your sobhavam. Nobody can escape from their sobhavam. And sobhava jena kaundeya, mentioned in the 18th chapter, right? Nibhadha svena karmana. Remember those words? Sobhava jena kaundeya, nibhadha svena karmana. He is bound by his sobhavam. And therefore, it's not so easy to free yourself from sobhavam. Sobhava jena kaundeya, nibhadha svena karmana, 18th chapter. Right? The karmam that has come from your sobhavam has bound you completely. You are under the bondage of that, right? You are telling me that I won't do this karmam. Kartum ichasi en mohad. when Arjuna said that, that's a delusion. That's a delusion, he said. Because if you say that, I won't do this karma because of this Brahman, if you say like that, he said, Karishyasi Avashobhidal. You will do it. Karishyasi Avashobhidal. Because you are helpless. Your Svabhavam inside will force you to do it. Krishna said with such a power to Arjuna, right? And he says, it will put a knife on your neck and tell you to do it. Your Svabhavam will force you to do that, right? Your Svabhavam or Prakriti, it will make you to do that. And after saying that only, Krishna said that, therefore, surrender to the Antaryami, who is going to do this otherwise. And surrendering to him, act according to his instructions, and like a machine in his hands, you perform the karma. Like a yandram, like a machine under his control. If you do like that, you will become free. You will become free. So, in this way, making one to surrender to Antaryami, who is situated in everyone's heart, and doing Sharanagati to him, to prepare for that, is all the bhakti sadhana for that purpose. Right? So, in every step, because in every step in our life, our ahangaram will come out. Ahangaram will get influence our decisions, no doubt, right? And the symptom of our ahankaram coming up, popping up, is kartrutvam bhoktrutvam. It's a symptom of that, right? And along with that, ragadvesham will come, followed by that, right? So, with anything, if you have attachment or hate, ragam or dvesham, or I am doing, I am the doer, and I want to enjoy the results, all these things will create fear, envy, doubts, and I have to achieve something from this. All these things, or I have to become this, I have to become that. All these things combined together is called bhava-yogam. Bhavam means taking birth again and again. Right? Bhava-yogam. All this is prakriti. This is all prakriti. Right? And prakriti will always give us trouble. In different ways, right? All our education also, if you look our education, right? School education, college education, everything, is all like pouring the oil into the fire, right? Already we have lost our control situation, right? We have avidya inside, and we have added on to that avidya with all the education what we got from the schools and colleges, right? They give the example like this, monkeys. Sometimes monkey gets some alcohol, it drinks, and it gets intoxicated. And then a scorpion comes and bites him. So what will be his situation? We are like that. By our birth itself, with our svabhavam, everything, so much avidya inside, we have come to this world. And then we went to school and colleges, and they educated us in a particular way. All it has done is boosted this ahangaram inside. And the result of that is ambition, 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 every time. And you get trapped by that. And accordingly, how others glorify you of your success in life, you get intoxicated with that. These are all the problems from this education, right? So, when Shreyasa inside, the Shreyo Margam opens up, to that extent, you will have to withdraw from this world what you have artificially created in life. So, because the path for Shanti is different. This is not the path we have gone through in life, right? So Krishna is saying here that Nivritti Margam, that karmam, when you have with this knowledge, what he spoke, ശ്രയോഹി ജ്ഞാനം അഭ്യാസാൽ ജ്ഞാനാൽ ധ്യാനം വിശിഷ്യത ധ്യാനാൽ കർമ്മഫലത്യാഗം. ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബിക്കം യുവർ സ്വഭാവം ആൻഡ് യു ഡു ദ കർമ്മം ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ, ദിസ് കർമ്മഫലത്യാഗം വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ വെരി ഈസിലി വിതൗട്ട് ടു മച്ച് ഓഫ് എ എഫേർട്ട്. So the more the ahankaram give way, the result will be that bhakti will increase inside and experience of that unlimited nature, akhandata, will come, and that experience of that unlimitedness in us inside, anandata, akhandata, that's called bhakti. That's how Krishna puts it here. So in Bhagavad Gita's language, you can see that anandata, what he is mentioned here, tyagal shanti anandaram, when it happens, that what Upanishad is saying as bhakti is bhumaveya sukham, Kena Upanishad says, bhumaveya sukham na alpe sukham asti. As long as we are limited with its body, bodily needs, bodily identity, and trapped in this karmam, there is no sukham. But na anya pashyati, na anya kshrunodi, na anya vijnanodi. To what extent, when you are not seeing a separatedness from us, anandada, unlimitedness, that is bhuma. So, and therefore Krishna said that, tyaga shandi anandaram. Tyaga shandi anandaram. Shandi anubhavam comes at that time. All this particular verse is also connected to Mundakamanishad. A mantra from the Mundakamanishad, it has been taken that the limited situation what we are in, where when we are trapped in the body, trapped in the karmam, where we are locked up with so much attachment and aversions, when you become free from that, and when karmam comes from that, what happens? That situation is the one what is mentioned in the Upanishads also. How does he see that? Yada pashyaya pashyade rukma varnam kartare mesham purusham brahma yonim tada vihaya mushyamane vidhuya niranjanam paramam samyam rishayadi upaiti. This karta, I am the karta, I am the doer, that goes away. You are not the karta. The Andaryami, who is present inside, he is the karta. Ishvara, Purusha, Paramatma, Brahma Yoni. And what is his location? In the Hridayam. Andaryami, Jnani. What has happened? Punya Pabe Vidhuya. Punyam Pavam, pious results and sinful results, that's gone from him. These are all symptoms of a person who has become free from karma. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, goes away. Ragadvesham doesn't come from that karma. This is all when a realized soul is doing the karma. Then, Paramatma, Pramatma Sthanam, Rukma Varnam, he says, means that sometimes when you see some people, you'll say, what an amount of tejas in him. In other words, that when you see that person, he realizes that it's not his color, but actually the spiritual realization of that person coming from him, right? Not based on the bodily color. For example, if you start looking at the body, then Krishna is black, Vedavyasa Maharshi is black, Arjuna is black. So it's not based on the body, right? And that is what Krishna calls it as tejasa. Tejasa means that tejasa coming from the Andaryami inside. So jnani is what they see in a person, that manifestation of Ishvara inside Andaryami, that is called tejasa, right? And that is spoken in the Dakshinamurti Sotram also, you will find mentioned there. Sarvalpatvam. That unlimitedness. In ordinary people's life, our mind is working all the time, right? With the mind we make decisions, with the mind we analyze situations, right? And whereas this person who has come to this state, what Krishna is saying here, he has gone into a field which is beyond mind, which is beyond mind. And that is what we call it as hridayam, heart. That's the heart we talk about, right? In that location, right, the whole creation is present there. Whole creation is present there. Yatra vishwam bhavati, eganidam. The whole vishwam, creation, is present there. And you can say that in that situation, you have realized a particular realization has come that personality has moved away from within. Jnani who is in that state, who has moved away from the field of karma, and has reached that state of unlimited situation, unlimitedness, what Upanishad is saying, Krishna is calling that person as a devotee. This introduction is necessary to understand the next 8 verses. Because bhakti and a devotee is a very misunderstood terminology. What is bhakti means? What does devotee means? Right? So, here Krishna is saying that a jnani who has come to this state, he is called a bhakta, he is a devotee, right? In the second chapter, Krishna called him as Tidapratya, that same person, right? In the 14th chapter, he called him as Gunatita, means he has gone beyond the 3 modes of nature. So, 14th chapter, he called him as Gunadidan, one who has gone beyond the 3 modes of nature. In the second chapter, he called him as Tidapratyatvam. And here, Krishna is calling him as a bhakta. So, from this you can understand the word, way we use the word bhakti and a bhakta is so different from what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So different from the way we have interpreted the term bhakti, right? So, yogi, karma yogi, jnani, siddhapratnyatvam, and similarly gunadhidan, all these things, different names are spoken at different times, right? Krishna means by all of them, same one thing, right? Here, he calls that person as bhakta, who is addressed as siddhapratnyatvam, gunadhidan, and similarly, karma yogi, in all these different titles he has used before in other chapters. In this chapter, Krishna says he is bhakta. He is bhakta. Right? So, the problem is that when we say bhakta, a devotee, right? First impression what you will get is his external appearance, is it not? The external appearance is what you carry about a bhakta. We say it's a devotee. He's got tilak, kurta, dhoti, everything, shikha, and beach bag, everything together. The whole package together. Right? So, similarly, all siddhantam has got external symptoms like that. Right? It's necessary also. There's nothing wrong in that. Right? For example, Vaishnavas have got tilak in different ways, isn't it? Vaishnava tilaks, and chanting the holy name, and we can say Sankirtanam, Nitya Anushtanam. All these things are Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava's way of doing things, right? Or Vishnu Bhakti. So, whichever process you have chosen, if it is Shaiva Sampradayam, Vaishnava Sampradayam or some other Sampradayam, whatever it may be, the Acharyas in those traditions, they have established a certain system, right? But before you choose the Siddhantam, what you are going to do, right, you got to use your own buddhi also. And once you have chosen that a process, it is before that you have to apply your own intelligence. Whether the path you have chosen is the path what suits your nature, right? And but once you have chosen, then you have to do what the system demands, right? Like Shaiva Siddhantam will say, you have to put Vibhuti and Rudraksham Mala and chanting the Panjaksharam Namashivaya. So you have to follow. That's the Upasana Sampradaya, right? So this is, everybody has to follow that, right? In that, Mithyacharam can come. Mithyacharam means that, how Mithyacharam? Mithyacharam means how it misleads people. For example, you know in cinemas, right? So many cinemas in India, if you look at it, you'll see that sometimes some famous actors, they will come as devotee of Vishnu or devotee of Shiva in that way. They will appear like that. And they, you know, because naturally everything is done very well before they come to act in the film. So when they come into the in the screen after they have done that, right? They may be famous actors, right? And their acting is so good in the film. The audience are affected by that, by the acting of the, they are not actually great devotees or anything, but the way that the effect of, I'm saying the effect of external features, how impacts people, right? And sometimes when they see some of these famous actors, when they act like that, some people in the audience offer obeisances to them when they come on the screen, affected by their bhakti, by their devotion, right? So, by doing that, you may be thinking that the bhakti has come from that, right? In practical life, right, it may or may not have happened, right? Sometimes there are few cases like that. They have acted like Krishna, Rama, and Lord Shiva, and all that. And through their acting, they have identification with that role, what they have played, right? So what I'm saying is that these are external things, completely coming from external things. Nothing to do with the Siddhantam or philosophy. Purely from external things only, a bhavam can be created inside. The problem with that is that bhavam won't stay. The bhavam won't stay. It will be there temporarily when you see that form in the screen, or for some time you may think about it, but it's not going to stay forever, right? There's a story, one thief went to a palace, right? So the king and the queen, he went there to steal something. So the king and the queen, they were having a conversation between the king and the queen, right? The daughter has become a devotee of Lord Shiva. So serious she has become, a devotee of Shiva, right? So the king and the queen are talking to each other, saying that we would like to marry her to a great, good devotee of Shiva, because she is so attached to Shiva's worship, and she should have no difficulty in life, unless she marries a Shiva's devotee, right? So they thought about this, where do you find a good Shiva's devotee in this way? So they decided that there were a lot of money, there are a lot of wealth, there's no shortage of funds. So then when decided there was a famous Shiva temple nearby. They'll go there and find a good Shiva's devotee from there. There were so many Shiva's devotees sitting there, sadhus, who were at the temple, right? And this thief who had come to steal all these things, he heard all this conversation. So he thought, instead of stealing, what I'll do now, I'll go and dress up like a good devotee and sit there among them. And because they were making the plan to find a husband for the princess from there. So, if I steal something and if I caught, I'll be beaten up and I'll be in the jail, right? So he decided, he ran away from there, and then the next day onwards he put himself covered in ashes and with Rudraksham. And like a Shiva's ideal devotee, he went and sat near the temple, right? And and lots of other sadhus were also there. Shiva's devotees were there. You have to remember that it is very difficult in the spiritual field to find who is genuine and who is not. Even if you go to Himalayas, you'll find a lots of sadhus there. But all those sadhus are not genuine. Lots of them are not genuine, right? They are for bichamdehi. Somehow to live in this world, they have taken to this profession. Otherwise, spiritually, you couldn't say that every one of them is self-inclined in the spiritual life or interested in the spiritual path, right? So anyway, he went there. A lot of sadhus were sitting there. And they interviewed a few sadhus, asked them about getting married to their daughter. So none of them were interested because they thought that that will not be appropriate for them to marry. All the sadhus refused, right? Then our man, this thief who was gone and sat there, he thought, let my turn come, then I'll deal with it properly, he's right. So finally they came to him to ask if they will marry her, right? So both the king and the queen offered obeisances to him because they were thinking they are all sadhus and offered obeisances, right? And they told him that our purpose was to marry our daughter to a good devotee of Lord Shiva, right? And at that time, this man, thief, he's thinking inside, right? All others have said no. If I say I will marry her, what will happen to me? Why did they all say no to her? And they came to me now at the end, right? In this way he was thinking about all these things was going through his head, right? He is not a sadhu. He is just interested in money. So that's what his mind is, right? So suddenly in his thoughts he got some sort of enlightenment that if I have taken this dress like this as a devotee, and like a sadhu, I have dressed up like this. And the king and the queen is coming up to me and asking me, what do I want, right? And they are offering obeisances to me. Who? The thief thought like that, right? If it is like that, suppose if I genuinely become a sadhu, what will happen to me, he said. Apparently this thought came in his head like that, right? And then he closed his eyes for a moment. And at that time, he felt a samadhi state inside. It was a kind of a surrender that happened within himself. So, that was his prarabdham, right? How Krishna takes a person away from this world and how he will be guided in life, nobody knows about anybody. It is very difficult to say, right? So a person who has come to steal has become a devotee after that, right? And in that way, that when his prarabdham was over, that he could take bhakti seriously, that he started feeling that without any effort, if king and the queen comes to me like this, suppose if I had genuinely taken shelter, Shiva shelter, what would have happened to me, right? Or proper bhakti comes to me, what can happen? And what will happen to in this way, he was thinking at that moment, right? So, when Krishna is saying this, right, then once this inside thing opens up, that means the heart, what we are talking about, yeah? Then what will happen to that devotee? Krishna says that, in the 6th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, Almovam Yena Sarvatra, there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 632. ആത്മവോമ്യേന സർവത്ര സമം പശ്യതി അർജുന സുഖം വാ യതിവാ ദുഃഖം സ യോഗി പരമോമത. ഇഫ് യു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ്, ആത്മവോമ്യേന സർവത്ര സമം പശ്യതി അർജുന സുഖം വാ യതിവാ ദുഃഖം സ യോഗി പരമോമത. Then sukham va yadiva dukham. What does bhakti means? Bhakti means priyam. You love somebody, right? Priyam means, Rishi says like this, that it is very difficult to define priyam precisely, right? And for example, a husband and wife. Husband is far away doing some work. Something happened, he died in the accident, and information arrived to the wife. So wife also, when she got the message of the shock, she died as well, right? So these things happen sometimes. And here, there is a story about Jayadev and Padmavati. You may have heard this story, that when the news came that Jayadev left the body, something happened to Padmavati in the same similar way, right? In other words, Krishna is saying there, Atmavam yena sarvatra. Atmavam yena sarvatra. Samam pashyadi. അർജുന സുഖം വാ യതി വാ ദുഃഖം സ യോഗി പരമോമത. സപ്പോസ് സംതിങ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ടു സംവൺ ആൻഡ് യു ഫീൽ ദ പെയിൻ, ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക് മദർ ആൻഡ് ദ ചൈൽഡ്. സംതിങ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ടു ദ ചൈൽഡ്, ഹൗ ദ മദർ ഫീൽസ് അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ്, റൈറ്റ്? In the same way, if someone else feels suffering and you get affected by that, you may ask the question, is that not material attachment, right? If you are accepting the suffering of somebody else, is that not samsara, right? That you have to experience it yourself. For example, Vivekananda said this, there is deep ecstasy in pain, he said. Right? In other words, when something happens, not for ourselves, but due to suffering of somebody else, if you feel affected by that, right, that pain can become samadhi. That pain can become samadhi, in a sense. The important principle here is that when selfishness goes away from inside, when you are not living in this world for selfish purposes, for selfishness alone, it goes away, then all great personalities are saying that in the suffering and the happiness of others, once you start experiencing that inside, that stage is called Atmavomyena Sarvatra. That means, normally in our life, our happiness and suffering affects us. What relates to me, I get affected by that. What relates to somebody else, it doesn't bother me. It's his problem, we'll say. That goes away. Others' suffering and others' happiness is affecting me. When that happens, it's an indication, Krishna is saying, Atmavomyena Sarvatra. Atmavomyena Sarvatra Samam Pashyati Arjuna. So, this is why you remember in Valmiki's case, when Valmiki saw that hunter shot the arrow to the bird and the bird died and fell down, right? Valmiki got so hurt, that pain, shogam shlogatva bhagada. His pain became a verse in the form of Ramayana. Ramayana came like that, from that pain what he experienced from the when the bird was heard by the hunter, right? So, so this, when you see that pain, when it manifests in a jnani or a person who has made that spiritual progress, they will say sarvatattvam, right? And this sarvatattvam, often you will find among them, and it is not theirs, it's actually the Antaryami inside is giving that experience to them, and all their sukham, dukham, what they are experiencing at that moment, they will accept it as atma bhava. That means their concern for others will be so much, right? In other words, the complete identification comes there. So, sa yogi paramo mata, Krishna is saying that. He says that yogi is the best. The why he said like that? Because of bhakti. That is bhakti, right? So, in the state of knowledge, jnanisthiti, right, when Krishna's mercy starts operating through him, then that is bhakti, and that is how Krishna defines bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. That you will see, advaishta sarvabhodanam, maitra karuna yevacha. Krishna gives importance to those things. That how the sufferings of others is affecting him, and the Antaryami inside him is giving this experience of that happiness or distress in such a way that he is able to experience that. So, okay, the sadhana bhakti, normally what we do at home or in the temples, and similarly visits to the temples, all those things, that's also accepted as sadhana bhakti. But the word bhakti used in the Bhagavad Gita is keeping something else as the definition, right? If you want to understand that verse, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Brahma Buddha Prasannatma, na shochari, na kamshari, sama sarveshu bhudeshu, mad bhaktim lebade param. He's saying that. So, first of all, he says here that the Brahmabhudam stage comes first, right? And because he has become Brahman realization has come. Means that I am Brahman, I am not this body. Means that I don't have birth or death. And he has realized that, right? And with that what happened? Prasannatma. He become prasannam. He has become peaceful and happy inside, right? And what else? Na shochati na kamshati. Personally, he has no desire and nor he has any lamentation inside. And na shochati na kamshati, then no speciality to anyone. Sama sarveshu bhudeshu. No speciality to anybody, right? Krishna is saying nothing is special for him. Nobody is special for him, right? If you feel somebody is special by some reason, you consider someone is important, somebody is not important, in that way, if a thought comes like that, that means your mind will start working. Mind will move, right? So, in ajnanis, people who don't have any spiritual knowledge, in them, this speciality you will find. You won't find samam in them. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu won't be there, right? So, if you take notice of some people, you can observe these things, right? Now, if you look at Krishna, or if you take a Ramchandra's case, what has happened is, Krishna killed some people, right? Kamsa was killed. Ramchandra killed Ravana and all that. They had to kill even people, right? Can you say that they have samam sarveshu bhudeshu? Because they have gone and killed Ravana and they have gone and killed Kamsa. How will you say Krishna is Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu? We have to understand this. This Sarvalpa Bhavam, when we are talking about it, Atma Bhavam Yena Sarvatra, when we say that, you got to understand in what background it is spoken, right? This Samabhavam in people, you may not be able to properly understand Samabhavam, right? For every jiva in this world, it will react differently in the proper way. It is required, right? In other words, individually all of us have upadhis, is it not? Different upadhis we have. Our upadhis are always different. Upadhi has its own dharma. It's called upadhi dharma. Right? Ramachandra and Krishna, they had to fight battlefield. In the battlefield, right? So, if you look at all these great souls, whether you take Krishna, Ramachandra, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, or Ajaya Swamiji, all of them, Ramana Maharshi, every one of them if you take, you will see that if you look at through their Ubhadi if you look at them, everybody is different. If you look at them through the Ubhadi, this is the important thing. Look at all the great personalities, Krishna, Ramchandra, or Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, and anybody, great personalities, spiritually very, very, very powerful people, right? If you look through them, through their upadhis, they have all acted differently. They didn't act in the same way. Krishna acted in one way, Ramchandra acted in a different way, Shuka Brahmarshi acted in a different way, Vedavyasa Maharshi did in a different way, Ajaya Swamiji did his own way, Ramana Maharshi did in his own way. So what do we understand from that? In upadhi level, it is not possible to have the same, because upadhi dharmam is different for everybody, even for them. Upadhi dharmam is different, right? So, but in their realized state, it is the same for everybody. It's the same for everybody, right? So, if you look at people, you will start wondering, that, oh, he's a realized soul, so why is he doing like this? If you ask the question, you cannot get an answer for that. It's a very difficult thing to understand, this self-realized state. They are all acting from the platform of the soul. They are not acting platform of the body. We are in the platform of the body, and we are looking at it, we only see how their body is acting. How their body is acting. And this is why Shuka Brahmarshi told the Parikshit, at the end of Rasa dance, right? He told very clearly to Parikshit that if you start looking at Krishna and start judging him for what he has done and what he has not done, you won't understand him, he said. You won't understand him. Because Mahalmas, when they do things, or great personalities, when they do things, we, because of our avidya situation, we are in avidya, and therefore, we won't understand their activities, right? So, look for example, animals, right? They don't have a mind, right? You can't agree with that, they don't have a mind, but you'll see, suppose a dog is standing outside, another dog comes, he will bark straight away. As soon as another one comes, he will bark. There won't be any friendly dealings. Huh? And because this dog thinks, this is my area, why have you come here? And once that dog goes, then he will stop barking. As long as his vicinity around him is not challenged by another one, he will be peaceful. But the moment another one comes, he will bark, right? So, because he thinks that this is his area, right? And he will show his full hatred by barking at him, right? And once the other one is gone, then he will be peaceful again, right? And this is the difference between the dog and us. For us, if somebody has said something about us badly, wrong things, right? I didn't like it or something. I'll keep it in my mind. Whereas the dog doesn't. Dog is concerned, as soon as the one goes away, he's forgotten that. Only if you attack, just see the difference between our mind and the dog's mind. Dog is happy to leave that other dog, was gone, he's able to forget it. We, not able to forget it. You will say, 50 years ago you said like this about me, haven't you? You will keep that in the head still, right? So this kind of mind, what we have, the dog doesn't have. The kind of mind what we have got, right? So, we will, all our emotions in the same way affects us, right? So therefore, what you find in the animals, these animals, it is the nature that is working, right? It is only the effect of the nature, their anger, their lust, all these are nature that is working through them, right? But when it comes to us, in the form of anger, greed, hate, things like that, agadvesham, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, all these things, right? It becomes mind. That's how the difference is. When they comes to us in the form of emotions, it becomes a mind. The mind doesn't exist in the animal. This is a big difference between the animals and us, right? And in the case of jnanis, that becomes the heart. These are three locations, right? Heart is the antaryami zone. Mind is the jiva zone. And the external expressions of the animals is nature. It's just nature. So if you are able to segregate these three, then you will see, understand what Krishna is saying here. You see, to move into the spiritual platform and to see from the spiritual level and to differentiate from the mental platform is a little difficult thing. Most of us are used to only the mental experiences. Everything comes from our mind, thoughts come from our mind, and we respond accordingly in the world. It's not. But spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization and the all activities related to the spiritual field and the Antaryami is a different location it's happening. And that's what's called heart. Right? So, which means that you have moved beyond Prakriti and come to Purusha then. Prakriti is the one that is controlling the animals normally. And Prakriti, mind is also coming from Prakriti. Whereas the other side, Antaryami, Antaryami is a zone, is Purusha's zone. It is not controlled by Prakriti anymore, right? So, transcending from Prakriti to Purusha is a big step in spiritual life. Transcending from Prakriti to Purusha. When you are in the control of mind, when you are in the control of this behavior of like the animals and all, that's all Prakriti. And that is why Krishna has spoken in the 7th chapter. That these are all coming from Prakriti. Bhumi rapanilovayu kam mano buddhi evacha ahangaram. Manasa buddhi ahangaram, they are all Prakriti. They have nothing to do with the self. Nothing to do with the self, right? So, Jivan Mukta, or person who is liberated, he is already situated. In him what you find is this Isharatam coming from the Purusha inside, and that is that effulgence what you see in him, because he has moved away from the platform of the mind to the platform of the soul, for a liberated soul, right? So, so once you start looking at these verses, this Alpabhumyena Sarvatra Samam Vashyadi Arjuna Sukhamba Yadiva Dukham Sayogi Paramamada. What is Krishna is trying to say to us? Krishna is speaking lot of things in the Bhagavad Gita from the platform of the soul. And that is why we are in the platform of the mind. We see everything through Raga Dvesham and attachment aversion through Ahangaram. And therefore, we are not able to properly connect with what Krishna has said in the from the platform of the soul. We'll discuss it after a few minutes. Chedo Darpanamarjanam Bhavamahadava Gnimurvapanam Shreyakkaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidhyavadhu Jeevanam Anandambudivardhanam Pradipada Purnamrada Swadhanam സർവാത്മാ സുമനംബരം വിചൈവേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുധാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിത നിവേദ സ്മരണേന കാല തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദൈവമേദൃശമിഹാ ജനിനാനുരാഗ തൃണാരഭീഷണി ചേന തരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഗിത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം ക്ഷമേ ഭവാം ബുധൗ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളീ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗണതശ്രുധാരയ അതനം വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയ ഗിര പുളകേർനിശിതം ഗതാവപു തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വരഹേ നമേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഭിനഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാം മഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ ദുലംബടു മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ മാപര സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Nature, mind, and then the heart, Hrudayam. So this is how the living entities in this world are. Animals are all nature. Whatever they react is based on the nature. We have what we call as the mind. And the realized souls, they can call from the heart. Comes from the heart. Right? So mandalam, they call it, the field, when you move away from Prakriti to Purusha, right, then when your Vyavaharam is in that level, from that level, right, what you find in that is, in the liberated souls, that Ishwaratvam comes to them. When you go into that stage, Ishwaratvam comes to them. And that is, Krishna's presence in them is experienced noticeably by others. Right? So, and that is what Krishna is going to say now, that certain things, what you observe in people, right? So many things Krishna is going to say now, which is all not coming from the mind. It's coming from that Antaryami. You see, we must remember this, that in animals one manifests in one particular way. In ordinary people, it comes from the mind. But in a devotee, Krishna is saying that, this is Krishna's definition of devotee, when these qualities are coming from the Antaryami and manifesting in him, then you can say he is a devotee. Not otherwise. And if you connect this statement, what he is saying here, with that verse, Brahma Bodha Prasannatma Nashochadi Nakamshadi Sama Sarveshu Bhudveshu Mad Bhaktim Lebhade Param, he is saying. Though that means, after Aham Brahmasmi, that Brahmam realization, then comes Samam Sarveshu Bhudveshu. After that, Mad Bhaktim Lebhade Param, he is saying. You will get bhakti. It is at that stage what you have is what is spoken here in this 12th chapter. Do you see the point what Krishna is saying? That when you read these qualifications of a devotee in the next 8 verses, this chapter is Bhakti Yoga, and these 8 verses are referring to a devotee from verse 13 onwards. 13 to 20. So, 8 verses. Krishna says this is a devotee, these 7 verses. And which type of devotee is Krishna is talking about? He's talking about that devotee who has come from Aham Brahmasmi realization. Brahma Bodha Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kamshati Sama Sarveshu Bhudveshu Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param. One who has reached that stage, from whom, from him, in him, These qualities you will find in him. Advaita Sarvabhudanam onwards. So, if you take these qualifications, what Krishna has spoken here about a devotee, right? And think about that, you will start realizing that that itself is a sadhana to get that qualification, qualities, right? So, Krishna is saying, with these symptoms, you should look at a person and decide if he is a devotee or not. That is the minimum requirement. Krishna's position is like that. Because the concept of devotee is a very confusing thing. You say, who is a devotee? Everybody says he is a devotee. But that's all based on external symptoms. But properly, when Krishna says a devotee, he means that if these things are in him, he is a devotee, right? But we must not use it for judging others. It is for judging oneself in that way. Keeping this book and I start looking at others and judging others, that's not allowed, right? So, and these verses, everybody likes them, these 8 verses, right? And they are verses which shows you the route, the path, how a devotee is, right? Advaishta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami sandushta satatam yogi. If you look at those verses, sandushta satatam yogi edalma drada nischaya mai arpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta same priyaha. Krishna is saying that such a devotee is very dear to me, he says. Is very dear to me. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Ambarish Maharaj's story, Durvasav Maharshi goes and gives trouble to Ambarish, right? And he invited him for prasadam, and Durvasav said, no, I am going to bathe and then I'll come back. So he went into the river, stayed underneath the water, holding his nose, and he came back much later. By the time the prescribed time for breaking the fast was over, muhurtam was over, right? And then he got upset with, you know that story in the 9th canto, he got upset with Ambarish, pulled out a hair from his head and started arguing with him, and then he created a form called Kritiya. She came and started attacking Ambarish Maharaj, right? So then Krishna Sudarshana disc comes and saved Ambarish from her and destroyed Kritiya and ran after Durvasav Maharshi. That story is in the 9th canto. Right? So, at that time, when Ambarish was attacked by there is a statement there. If you look at that verses, 9th canto, 4th chapter, Krishna saying here, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam, verse 68. Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam, Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham, Madanyate na Janandi, Nahum Tebhyo Managabi. If you do anything against a devotee, and this will, you will be attacked, because he's saying there, first of all, he went to, Durvasa went to Brahma, Vishnu, and then Shiva. And Brahma, all of them said, I can't do anything. Vishnu said finally, because Sudarshana disc is coming from Vishnu's. So Vishnu said, I can't do anything about it. And to whomever you have committed the offense, you go and take his shelter. There is no other way. Till then you will be chased by Sudarshanam. Sudarshanam didn't do anything to Durvasao, and initially it kept away from him, but then he followed Durvasao Maharshi. Ultimately Durvasao comes to Ambarish Maharaj and fell at his feet, right? So it was that time this verse, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam, Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham, Mad Anyate Na Janandi, Naham Tebhyo Managavi. Krishna is saying there, these sadhus, they are my heart, and I am their heart. Just like he said that the they have just like a chaste woman keeps her husband in her heart or under her control all the time, similarly a devotee controls me, Krishna says. In the verse 66, Mai nirbhaddha hridaya sadhava samadarshanaha vashi kurvandi mam bhaktiya sat-striya salpadim yatha. Sat-striya salpadim yatha. So, Krishna also saying, just like a chaste woman keeps a husband under her control, in the same way, devotees control me, Krishna says, right? I don't have any independence to do anything. In other words, one who is completely independent is saying this, I am not independent. Krishna, who is totally independent, is making this statement that I am not independent, right? So, because devotees are my heart, he said, they don't know anything except me, and they don't know anybody else except me, and so Durvasao came to Ambarish's, right? And Ambarish is saying here that this statement from Krishna, that if you want to understand Krishna, he says, you have to see him in a devotee's heart. So Krishna is saying, I live in devotee's heart. So when you see a proper devotee, that's the time when you realize what it gives in understanding. It is possible to experience Krishna within the heart when you see a devotee. Krishna is saying, I stay in the heart of the devotee, and when you see a devotee, you realize that it is possible to experience Krishna within one's own heart, right? And that is what bhakti is talking about here. So, this is called abhivikti. Abhivikti means this experience inside. Here also Krishna is saying here that just like he said that sadhunam hridayam mahyam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham, sadhavo hridayam mahyam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham. Mad anyate na janandi, naham tebhyo managabi. Right? So, so this connection with the Jiva and Ishvara, Jiva's connection with Ishvara, because of that, in the Lalita Sahasranamam, you will find a name there, for Sri Parvati has got a name, Sadashiva Padivrata, it says, right? What is that Padivratyam? Padivratyam means the chastity. Is if the mind does not go away to anything else by focused in one place, not taking shelter of anything else except Krishna, Antaryami inside, mind stopped running around anywhere else, totally going back to the Antaryami always and taking the shelter there, that is the chastity of a devotee, Patiprata of the devotee, right? So when outside world doesn't exist, nothing else comes in, the certain symptoms that you will find in that person, if those things are present in him, and you see these symptoms in him, then you can say that he is a devotee. He is a devotee. Because the reason for that is, at that moment onwards, his responsibility of looking after that person is Krishna's responsibility. In other words, Krishna in the Antaryami inside has taken over the responsibility of that person. And that is why all these qualities spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is coming to him. Because of that. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna yavacha nirmama nirahangaram samadukham sukhakshami sandushtam satatam yogi yad alpa drida nishaya mai arpita manobuddhi yomal bhakta samepriya. All the verses, if you look, they're unbelievable qualities. Where are they coming from? It's coming from the Antaryami. Antaryami has taken control of the devotee. And Antaryami releases these qualities in him. And for an outsider, when he sees that person, he sees these qualities, and that is coming as a devotee. So Krishna is saying here that in him, what he mentioned here, that yadalma drida nishaya mai arpita manobuddhi. You see that word? Mai arpita manobuddhi. His mind and intelligence has come to me. It has shut down now. It's not working in the world outside. It has so much involved in me. Yo mal bhakta same priyaha. So, if you see these symptoms in a person, in a devotee, Krishna is saying, it is my responsibility, everything, as far as he is concerned, right? It is difficult to understand a devotee till you understand what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita about a devotee. To understand a devotee. Normally, when we see a devotee purely based on the external things, is it not? External symptoms. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't want to talk about it. The external things has not much of an importance. It has its own value in the world, in Vyavaharam, but Bhagavad Gita is a little bit more a deeper subject. Krishna says a devotee means this. In him, Antaryami is operating. See, the world outside, they only know our face, isn't it? For example, if you put the tilak on, or vibhuti, whatever it is, or rudraksham, or tulsimala, all these things, you look at those things and you make judgment about a person, right? But the one who looks inside us and make decision is Antaryami. Only Antaryami knows the heart inside. So, because we can't look inside a person, we can only look outside and make decision on that basis, right? And we will say he is a devotee, he is not a devotee, and all kinds of conclusions, right? But Krishna is saying, I look at someone from inside, only inside, and then I decide whether he has got bhakti or not. So, not based on how much rounds he has chanted, how much service he has done in the temple, I don't look at that way. I look at inside and see if these qualities has come in him, and then I take it that he is a devotee, right? So, and that is why in the Bhagavatam also you will see, this is a bit subtle thing it is. Until you get that, we will be always looking outside. But this is more important. That's a fact. Yeah. Same thing, Kavila Maharshi said that in the Bhagavatam. If you look in the 29th chapter, when he spoke about devotee, what did he say? Kurude archa vidambanam, he said. Don't fool me, he said. with them. Aham sarveshu bodeshu, 329-21. Aham sarveshu bodeshu, bhudalpa avastida sada, tam avajnaya mam martya, kurde archa vidambanam. Yomam sarveshu bhudeshu, sandam alpanam ishwaram, hitvamam bhajare mautyat, basmanyeva jihodisa. Some strong language Kavila Maharshi has used there. He has used some strong language to say to us that bhakti is saying there that till you realize that I am present in everyone, Krishna is present in everyone, and instead of understanding that, simply doing worship in the deity and thinking that you have become a devotee, he says, get rid of that understanding from inside. And he mentioned in that 22nd verse, one who does that, not realizing my presence in others, and simply worshipping the deity, all he is doing is offering the havisa in the homam, but it is only simply ashes, he said. And one who, so these verses, if you look at this verse here, and particularly that next verse, 23. Dushada paragayema manino bhinna darshinaha bhudeshu baddha vairasya na manashanti mruchari. Not much different than what Krishna is saying here about the devotee. Yeah. So, important realization that is. Yeah. In everyone present in their heart is Antaryami. And Krishna comes in different forms in front of us, in the form of different people, but Krishna is inside. That realization he is saying here, that but instead he is thinking that he goes to the temple and he saw different forms there, Shiva's form, Devi's form, Krishna's form, Ramchandra's form, and he is thinking that I am worshipping this form. But, and you are chanting the name, holy names also, but ultimately they are all related to the Antaryami inside. So in other words, Antaryami Upasana, seeing Krishna's in the heart of others and within oneself, is Krishna calls it as a devotee. A devotee's actual understanding is that he sees the Antaryami in everybody, right? So, till that bhavam comes, or bhakti comes, he said that your bhakti has not progressed very much. If it is simply related to the temples, if it is simply related to holy places, traveling here, traveling there. In the early stages, yes, it is like that. Right? So, you can see in bhakti also, you stagnate. You don't make much progress. Stay in one place. Initially everything is starts in a big way, in the beginning, right? After some time it stagnates. It does not going anymore. You go to the temple, you go and hear this, go and hear that, something else. But nothing is changing inside. Change has not happened. For example, in the olden days, it's now also it's like that, I think. In the schools and all, they used to have every year an examination from 4th or 5th standard, right up to 10th standard, right? And sometimes, some students, right, they are not very interested in studying. They come to school because at home they send them. So you go and sit there instead of bothering us here at home. They send them to school. So they come, they have no taste, interest in studying anything, right? So what happens? They fail. And sometimes some of them will get stuck in some classes for many years. And finally what happens is, they become older than the teacher himself. who's come to teach them. It used to happen like that. We used to have like that, some cases, not many, few of them, that they won't make much, they won't move into the next class. Every year they'll be in the same class, and new group of students will come, and he's the senior devotee there in the class. Everybody will be very respectful to him because he has gone through this syllabus for a few years. And even he may know more about the syllabus than the teacher himself because he has stuck there, right? Yeah. So because of this, what happened was the government realized that this is a problem. So government said, up to 10th standard, you get everybody through. Whether you're qualified or not, you get them through the class, they said. Like that. When you got SSLC or GCSE, what they call it now, right? If you go to GCSE, he will fail, obviously. After that, he will leave the school. You won't see him again. He'll go and do some work somewhere else, whatever he likes. His education is over with that, right? So GCSE is the one which gets rid of him from the school. He goes away, like that. So, similarly in bhakti also, in the same way, this happens, right? After some time, no change at all. Started everything in a big way, got initiation done, got the, you know, regulative principles all in life, changed the clothes and doing the 16 rounds and everything. But then, after that, stagnation. It's not, don't know what to do after that. Now I've done everything, so why nothing is happening? This question comes, right? So, Krishna is saying here, that the, it is at that time he's saying there, that the, till you start this Antaryami Upasana inside, right? Antaryami Upasana inside, recognizing him, that means internally it has to start working. All the other things are external. External things will go on for some time. It will keep you going for some time. After some time, the internal thing should start functioning, right? At that time, all the vyavaharam also has to fall in line with that, and including that, without selfishness, able to execute the bhakti, yadyat karma karodita tangilam shambhota varadhanam. Shivananda Lahari Ajara Swami says about that, right? This body is a temple, and Antaryami inside is a deity, and everything what we are thinking, what we are doing, all these things in different thoughts and ideas and active actions coming is coming from Antaryami. That realization has to build up inside. Otherwise, you will be stagnated there. That's the problem, right? And once you start accepting that, then Antaryami inside is observing things, what is being done, right? How will that happen? He says, at that time, this duplicity in us will leave us. I mean, thinking one thing and doing something else outside. That will go. Here what will happen is, he says there, that once you accept that, Antaryami is controlling everything. Our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. All of them, right? And that situation is what Krishna is saying, Almavomyena Sarvatra. That word, yeah? In the 6th chapter, when he mentioned that, Almavomyena Sarvatra, he says, Almavomyena Sarvatra, Samam Pashyati Arjuna, Sukhamma Yadiva Dukham, Sa Yogi Paramomaga. So, Krishna says this way, Almavomyena Sarvatra, right? Whether sukham dukham, keeping that as an ideal situation, right? Sukham and dukham, if it is affecting a person, then you cannot say that Almavomyena Sarvatra has come to him, right? So, what Krishna's point is that if this bhakti has come to a person, the three things what will happen to him immediately will be the first three things what he mentioned there. Adveshtam, Maitri, Karuna. Three things what he spoke there. Advaishta sarvabhodhanam maitri karuna evacha. These three things happens, comes to him immediately. If this bhakti has come, he says, if the bhakti has come to a person, these three things comes to him first. And Patanjali Maharshi also says the same thing in the Yoga Sutram, right? There Patanjali spoke the same thing for a yogi. Here Krishna has spoken the same thing for a bhakta, for a devotee, right? What you have to remember is, all bhakti sampradayams, whichever bhakti sampradayam it is there, right? All of them have taken a lot from the Yoga Shastram. They are connected very closely with the Yoga Shastram. Bhakti Yogam and Yoga Shastram. Yoga Shastram means Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, right? Because selfishness, swarthada, ragadvesham, all of them is very much damaging for the chittam, right? And many of the followers in the Ramanuja tradition also were great yogis, they were. A lot of them were great yogis, right? So, just like you bathe this gross body, in the same way, there is a process of bathing the subtle body as well. Subtle body as well, right? And for that, you require some discipline in life. And therefore, they all selected, particularly Ramanuja Sampradayam, they all selected certain yoga processes in their life, right? And so many of the, all the yoga sampradayam which was followed in the, from the yoga processes, most of them have come from the Dvaita sampradayam, right? Devotees, right? And majority of them are the Vishishtadvaitis. They are all Vishishtadvaitis who has come from the yoga sampradayam, right? You can see that famous school in Pune, Iyengar Yoga School, they all, and his guru also, Krishnamacharya and all. So you can see in Ramanuja Sampradayam, this yoga process has had such a strong effect on them, and the reason being that the bhakti traditions which Ramanuja Acharya and other great acharyas brought after that, they all had a very strong link with the Yoga Sutram of Patanjali. They were followers of yoga processes as well, right? they were all the Sri Vaishnava traditions, right? So, for them, for their process of execution of bhakti, they accepted the Yoga Sutram from that. The reason is that yoga process is required sometimes. In order for us to protect from others, you use the, for example, you use a shield or any kind of weapon to protect from others, right? But how do you protect from yourself? You can protect from others by weapons, but how do you protect yourself? Because we have got problems inside. How do I protect myself from that, right? So that is why, that's what Krishna is saying from the beginning, right? That protect yourself from yourself. You protect yourself from yourself, right? Because we have got problems inside. All of us have got problems inside, right? Because we sometimes think, I don't know what I am doing. Things are happening in that way, in life, right? And next moment, what my mind will bring up, or what thoughts will come in my mind, I don't know what will come, right? So, therefore, to protect me from the next thoughts, what's going to come, that system is yoga. Is yoga, right? So, that means, there is the process of dharmam. In order that I don't break away from the path of dharmam, and remain within the path of dharmam, for that, the Dvaitis in Bhakti Margam, they have taken shelter of the yoga. Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, right? Jnanam, jnanis don't do that. I'm saying how jnanis and also devotees, bhakti, when it comes, how one has to protect oneself from one's own problems, right? If you look at the history, you will see this, right? most of the jnanis, they have not much of an affinity with yoga, Ashtanga yoga, right? Most of the people who have come to the bhakti margam or upasana margam, bhakti margam or upasana margam, they come from the Dvaita Sampradaya. From the Dvaita Sampradaya. Vishuddha Dvaitam and Dvaitam also, right? the reason is like this. In Jnana Margam, it is considered to be the end of yoga, right? Because most of the jnanis, by birth itself, they come with that qualifications. That's the difference, right? That they already have a control of the mind, control of the senses, and they are not disturbed very much from inside. These are things you have to observe in people. You have to look at great personalities and look at their life. Study. This is why we have to study the life of devotees to understand the subtle side of bhakti. How bhakti acts in different people differently. Vishishta Dvaitam and Dvaitam, they have created more devotees. The reason being that they do not have the same thinking like the jnani. Jnani thinks differently. Jnani comes to this world, you see, everything is not now happening. Things have happened in many lifetimes before. It is just following us now in this life. You have to look at ourselves in that way. You should not think everything, now I am starting fresh, everything. No. Previous lives have a strong influence on our present situation, right? So when you look at yourself, you can see, and if you look at others also, everybody is different. Why this different nature coming to them? Because of the previous life's influence on this life, right? So, jnanis generally comes, is janmasiddham. That means by birth itself, they would have already, the path is chosen for them. From previous lives, the decision has been made for them in this life, which way they are likely to go. Jnanamargam, they will choose straight away, without much of a delay, right? Whereas, in the bhakti margam, what happens is that who has come through, who realized this, that because they are absorbed in bhakti so much, they realize that their swabhavam has to change. In order to change the swabhavam in a person, these sampradayams, they have taken shelter of Yoga Sutra, Patanjali's Yoga Margam. So Patanjali's Yoga Margam helped immensely Vishishta Dvaita followers to change their structure inside, right? And so a person becomes matured and ready for spiritual knowledge when all these impurities in the heart, in the mind, or you can say the disturbances in the mind completely goes away. That is when bhakti, that is has to happen before he becomes qualified for the knowledge. Therefore, if you do not take shelter of the yoga processes, and that is the reason pranayamam and all the other yoga sadhana has become a strong influence on the bhakti tradition. All these yoga processes has taken a strong influence on the bhakti tradition. And many of the great personalities in the Ramanuja traditions, they were all yogis as well. They were all yogis because of that. You will see that they were into yoga processes so much. Right. So, Jnani's case, it is a little different. Because they don't have that, because of the previous karma, what has followed them. They won't have much of a disturbance inside. They are matured that way, right? Because that, when they hear the knowledge of what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or Upanishads, whatever it is, right? they are able to capture it straight away. Who? Those who have come in that path, through the path of knowledge, right? He does not require any kind of yogacharya, yoga processes to support him. So, yoga margam, ashtanga yogam you are talking about, yoga margam, right, can help bhakti and create a favorable situation inside, right? And that is why these three symptoms what Krishna has spoken, adveshta sarvabhodayanam, maitra karana evacha, these three things, is a result of that, to some extent, is also from the yoga margam, has an impact on that. Yeah. So, in other words, he is saying here, you see, generally if you just read the words, you will start thinking, oh, I have to become like that, don't I? Adveshta sarvabhodayanam, maitri, karuna. I understood the words, but it's not happening though. It's difficult to bring it back into us. As soon as people remember these words, and then you can make a rap out of it, isn't it? Singing this. Like so many are doing that now. Bhagavad Gita verses are used for rapping. So you can do all that with these words. But what the verse is saying, how to make it happen inside us. Adveshta sarvabhudanam. So Sri Vaishnavas has used yoga processes for that. And that is why many of them were great yogis in their traditions. Among the Sri Vaishnavas. Because that's a very much a bhakti tradition. Right? No dvesham, no hate inside. And somebody in the world, he hate him. Because I don't like him. So I hate him. I'm sitting here and I'm hating somebody who is living in America or Europe, somewhere else. Right? So he does not know that. And when I'm hating someone, what is happening? I'm taking a knife and I'm forcing it on myself, my own chest. I'm hitting that. Right? So, there is nothing more required, more violence than that towards Antaryami from with what you are doing with yourself. Right? So, so this is the problem with this. Yeah, that is why these qualifications what Krishna has spoken, Adveshta Sarvabhudayanam, Maitra Karuna Yevacha, how will this happen inside? Right? So, Ajahn Swami mentions here, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam na dveshtam alpano dukha hetam api na kashchit dveshti sarvani bhudhani almatvena hi pashyati. And because he is seeing all living entities, able to see them equally, if someone behaves in a insulting or a offensive way, even if he is creating distress, still he won't react to it. Maitram mitra bhavo maitri mitradaya vartade idi maitraha. And maitra bhavam means that even those who are suffering in this world, able to show compassion for them. And one who is giving shelter to everyone is a sannyasi. Nirmama, that means he has no possessiveness anywhere in anything. Nirahankaram, and that ahambhavam is not there. Samadukham, in happiness and distress is equal, and that means he has no ragam or dvesham. Then even if he is if somebody upsets him or beats him up, still able to not get affected by that. So, though that first verse, this is the verse 13, Adveshta sarvabhudanam, maitra karuna yavacha, nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami. Right? After saying that, Krishna is saying that, that if you do not develop this, what happens? He says that it is like adding poison to the sweet rice. You cannot eat it anymore. Similarly, if this hate has come inside, that person will never have shanti anymore. Shanti is finished for him. Right? So you have to look at the contrast here, right? Krishna told Arjuna, you take the bow and arrow and fight. That's what the instruction was to Arjuna, right? He told Arjuna, don't hate anybody. After that he is saying this. Look at the difficulty, right? He says to Arjuna, you take bow and arrow and you fight the war. You should fight, he said. And then he is saying to him, you shouldn't hate anybody, right? So, keeping this Bhagavad Gita, right? Yeah, it is with this understanding, Gandhiji told the British to leave the country during the independence time. So you can see, lot of things what Gandhiji did, Mahatma Gandhi had an influence on the Bhagavad Gita, on him, right? So, he told them to leave the country, but not to hate them, right? Ramachandra killed Ravana, right? And then he told Vibhishana, I don't have any hate towards him, right? So, because with Ravana's death, it was over, right? And how you are related to him, it is the same way for me too, Ramachandra says to Vibhishana, as far as Ravana is concerned, right? And he told Vibhishana to perform all the rituals after Ravana's death, right? And Vibhishana told Ramachandra, I am feeling hate towards him, right? Ramachandra told him that, no, you can't hate him. And told Vibhishana to perform the final rites for Ravana. After all what Ravana did, Vibhishana was naturally developed a strong hate towards Ravana. After all this what happened. But Ramachandra is saying to Vibhishana, you cannot hate him. You cannot hate him. See, so these things are secret of karma. These are all secrets of karma. Hate, dvesham. Then similarly, aversion. All these things will become hatred. How hatred comes from dvesham, raga dvesham, turns into hate, right? And the interesting thing is that some people you don't like in life, for some reason, whatever has happened, it happens like that. And you don't like certain things, right? And what you don't like or whom you hate for some reason, Maya will bring that and put it on your head, right in front of you. And you'll be confused. Which you didn't want, whom you didn't want to see, he comes to visit you. And because till that aversion goes from inside, this will happen, right? And that this is how it is, Maya works. You can see that in life also, if you are very attached to somebody, Krishna will hit you hard on that place. And you will realize at that time that something was wrong within yourself. It was not any other reason behind that. Yeah? Somewhere you had a strong attachment, Maya will come and give you a blow there. In that situation, right? So, because when we become free from that attachment and aversion, only then you will become free from that problem, right? There is a saying that worship the terrible so that you become free from it. So, worship the terrible and transcend the terrible, it says. Right. That means this thing called hate is not supposed to be there inside. A devotee should not have hate inside. Now, as he said before, advaishtam means that to become free from that hate, right? You understand, you see, Puranams have a way of saying things which you may or may not pick it up, right? Look at Prahlada, for example. Right? Hiranyakashipu was jumping up and down, saying to him, that he's a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, right? And he's very happy. Prahlada is happy by his nature, right? He is a devotee of Vishnu. And in him, there was no hate towards anyone in Prahlada, right? And Hiranyakashipu hated Vishnu so much. And with seeing Prahlada's state, Hiranyakashipu was very unhappy about it, seeing his bhakti towards Vishnu. And he took him to the top of the mountain, threw him out from the top of the mountain, poisoned him, made the snakes to bite him, things like that, right? So, if it is such a thing, then what was happened to Prahlada? If it happens to any one of us, we won't be coming back here, isn't it? So, people ask this question, why is it said like that in the Bhagavatam, that Prahlada was not affected by that, right? So, it says that these things my father is doing because it's a part of his spiritual life to do all these things. His anushtanam, in other words, right? To throw him down from the top of the hill and to poison him. And it said that how much love my father has for me. And he told them, Hiranyakashipu, my dear father, that you don't have any enemies outside and all our problems are inside. Prahlada says this to Hiranyakashipu, right? And without controlling them inside, you are thinking that you are winning your enemies outside, right? You are winning your enemies outside, and that is your ignorance. Actually, all your enemies are inside you. That's the first principle, right? Yeah. And understand that, to understand that Prahlad's heart, right? So when Krishna is saying this, as I mentioned before, that the problems outside compared to the problems inside is nothing. Problems outside will come and go, but this problem inside stays permanent. That is the problem. So that is why when these qualities Krishna is talking about, all are related to the inside problems. Inside problems. Yeah. So, Prahlada answered that to Hiranyakashipu. If you look at that verse, what he said in the 7th canto, seventh canto, 5th chapter, verse 13. Prahlada Vacha. Sa esha alma so paretya buddhibir durate anukramano nirupyade muhyandi yad vartmani vedavadino brahmadeyo esha bhinati me matim. That this feeling inside me and you, swam and param, where did this come from? Prahlada is asking this question. When you analyze these things, you realize that where we stand in bhakti, where is our bhakti? When you understand Prahlada's heart and how Prahlada is analyzed, he is asking this question, swam param, where is this coming from? Yeah? He says, sa esha alma, so param, iti buddhi, durate yanu kramano nirupyade. If you analyze that, he says, Muhyendi Yadvartmani Veda Vadino Brahmadayo Esha Binatime Matam. Binatime Matim. Binatime Matim. So ignorant people, they think like this, me and you. This is mine, that's yours. In this way. I am separate, you are separate, right? This is mine, that's yours. Atma, Ajnanis speak like that, and Atma doesn't speak that. It's coming from Ahankaram inside. So, Atma is concerned. Atma is present in everyone. And it is the same Atma, Chaitanyam, present in everyone. It is in me, it's in everybody else. And Prahlada said this in a very peaceful way to Hiranyakashipu. And when Narasimha Murthy comes, and he killed Hiranyakashipu, and when he asked her, Prahlada, what benediction do you want? Prahlada says, all I want is, you should not send my father to hell. You should give him a good direction in life, right? So, if Prahlada was able to say that, that's a devotee. A devotee speaks like that, right? No desires anymore. And he said at that time, if you look at that chapter, in the when what Prahlada answered to Narasimha Murthy, what he said to him, he's saying there, seven, 10, 7. Yadi rasisha me kaman, varam sum varadarshava, kamanam hridya samroham, bhavadastu rane varam. Kamanam hridya samroham, bhavadastu rane varam. So, no more desires comes in me. That was the benediction he was asking. No more desires, right? So, it is good to read that because Krishna spoke about what a devotee is, right? Krishna spoke about sthita prajñatvam in the second chapter. And when Bhagavad Gita, when Madhusudana Saraswati wrote a commentary on that, it's a famous commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Madhusudana Saraswati was Advaiti. When he wrote that commentary, as an example of all this, he quoted Prahlada there. Prahlada, right? If you look at every devotees, great personalities, great devotees, if you look at their life, always you will find one thing, they had to face very hard time in this world from others. Others used to give them a lot of trouble, right? And you will notice that in the case of great devotees, they never reacted to it. That was their strength. Because if hate develops inside, the bhakti will go. So therefore, great devotees, if you study their life, you will see this one thing in them. Adveshta sarvabhudanam. Right? Maitri. And they could have, it's a symptom of a great personality, this quality in them, right? If you observe personalities in the Puranams, you will find this. You look at Narada Maharshi, he will go to Hiranyakashipu freely and talk to him. And he will also go to Prahlada and talk to him also. So, how do you understand that? He is very free with Hiranyakashipu. Same thing with Kamsa also. So relaxed while going to see Kamsa. And then he will go back and tell Vasudeva and Devaki and to Krishna that Kamsa is like this. You know. So how was he able to keep that relationship like that? Is it not? It's a difficult thing. That if you have got upset with Hiranyakashipu, you won't be able to go and see him. But Narada Maharshi was so expert at that, expert in the sense that this hate has not developed inside. This is what devotee is able to do. Adveshta sarvabhudanam. Adveshta sarvabhudanam means the hate has not entered in the mind. He has not allowed the hate to get inside towards anyone in this world. Why? He is saying, Atmavamyena sarvatra. There is only one Atma present in everyone. He is not seeing others through the body. Once you see through the body others, you are gone into trouble. You got into trouble. Because that realization is spiritual life. If we don't see the presence, Krishna's presence in everyone, realizing that it is the same Chaitanyam who is acting through others in different ways, and you are seeing me and you separately, Swam Param, that way. As long as this Swam Param Bhavam comes, there will be Dvaitam and there will be trouble. Yeah. So, Narada Maharshi was free from this problem. So therefore, he will go and have, he will eat with Kamsa together. They are so good friends, each other. And at the same time, with Krishna, he will come and tell Krishna also that Kamsa is like this, you have to deal with him in this way. Right? So, but Narada Maharshi did not have any problem. And if we can get to that state of consciousness, it's good. But it will create a lot of difficulty in vyavahara, when it comes to a harem, right? And some things you like, you can take it, some things you can't take it, right? And when you now, when you get that feeling that certain things you can't accept in this life and you don't agree with it, right? That problem is coming from the mind. It comes from the mind, right? And it is not their fault. It is our mind is causing that problem. Right? You can see that there are people who don't have that problem so much. Different people have different degrees, right? In other words, all the problems what we have is in our upadhi. This is the principle behind it. All problems what we are experiencing is in our upadhi. In our real self, there is no problem. Problems are all in the upadhi, right? And once you have gone out of upadhi, that means if you deal with upadhi, you have got problem. But if you go away from the upadhi, then you will become free from this problem. So, able to study all these things in this way, to understand this verse. Advaishta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukham sukhakshami. This is the only way you can understand these verses. If you try to think that, oh, from today onwards I am going to follow this rule, Advaishta, that's not how it works. It won't work like that. So, there is a lot to say about it. We'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.